Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Sam. Did I hear you right? Did I hear you say you were tired of the sun?
In a good way now. Oh. Don't get it twisted. In a good way, Earl.
Because
she said she was tired from the sun.
From the sun.
Which makes her an interstellar traveler or something.
See, I like the way he puts that one.
Yeah.
Sounds more cool.
Listen, it was... before we go there, it is Mondays. So that means it's Monday with Sandy Williams. Let me do that again. It is Monday, not it is Mondays.
Yeah.
Monday with Sandy Williams.
Earl, have you had breakfast yet?
No.
So you didn't have a chance to eat crow?
That's a good one, my friend.
You understand? So, you understand why you need to eat crow for breakfast?
Absolutely, because I threw in the towel on the Milwaukee Bucks on Friday.
I told you that I wasn't quitting on the Bucks, but you said you probably were.
I remember it well.
How did the weekend go for the Bucks, Earl?
It went swimmingly.
Yes, it did.
But what I will say.
Yeah, the main swimmer's name is Grayson Allen, too. Today,
so. And yes, I will eat that crow.
Uh-huh.
But I'd also say.
I wish this was television.
But I'd also say, I also said at that same time that they would play better team ball without Chris Middleton.
I don't know if you said that or thought that.
No. I said they would be better. They'd play better because I know what happens with Chris Middleton. He kind of takes the ball and dribbles around and, you know, dribble it off his foot sometimes. And
you just lost a listener.
Throw it away.
You just lost Chris Middleton. He was used to be a listener.
Hey, he's a great shooter, but he is not a guy who is a great team player from the standpoint. Give me the ball, pass it around, pass, and the open guy takes the shot. Once it goes to him.
You say he's like Michael Redd. Was that his name?
Yeah, Michael Redd.
Wasn't he the black hole? You threw him the ball, and that was the last time anyone else saw him?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is Middleton's a great shooter, but he's not a great guy for creating his own shot. He doesn't have the abilities to do that. He turns the ball over too much.
Well, I will say this. They were really passing the ball well, and so was Giannis. I mean, it was great fun to watch them because they were chewing the Bulls up.
So if they're going to do that, Sandy, they become a threat to win it all.
Yeah, well, they really. I mean, I hope they had a lesson learned there, and I'm confident Grayson Allen's going to get a lot more playing time.
You know, it's let's just look at it from the perspective of. You look at Lopez, who really basically didn't do anything on yesterday.
He got 2 points, I think.
Yeah, he was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
But they also, you know, they play with 7-8 guys. And so those guys are pretty interchangeable. And so I think when you bring Portis,
well, you know, they played Javon Carter more minutes.
Yes.
And so, you know, it looked to me like he was kind of broadening his reach a little bit into the bench, which will be good going down.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to broaden it too much more than Carter.
Yeah. Right.
And Nuorahead
was in there for
2 minutes. And it surprised me during the garbage time that Nuorah didn't jack it up like he always does. You know, he's always the first guy. I don't care how much time he's left. He's gonna get his in. But they really look good because of many different things. But Sandy, they're a big team. Sometimes we forget, you know, when you put Giannis, Portis, Lopez out on the court.
That's a
big front line. Yeah. And that's a pretty active front line. And you know, and they're pretty aggressive. Lopez will not allow you to go to the hole without picking your head off. Right? You're gonna think twice because he will have
And Wes Matthews is a powerful defender.
Another great defender and a great shooter. So I'm glad to see that New Jersey is going to be out of it, because I would worry about them against New Jersey like I'm going to worry about them against Boston.
You mean Ben Simmons isn't going to be playing in that?
No. No, Ben Simmons.
What the heck is that all about?
Well, so they paid all that money.
And he's,
well, it's not so much the money as they traded what is his name?
I don't know, but they gave up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And they end up with a guy whose back is so tweaked that he can't even make it in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, they gave up the guy who's playing for the 76ers now. He's one of the top players in the league. I forgot his name. For Ben Simmons, but Ben Simmons, his pinky finger is hurting him.
Yeah.
So you would think
he's got a cuticle problem.
Yeah. So when you think about, as I'm watching Boston and New Jersey, all I could think about was, man, I don't want the Bucks to have to play against Durant and the other guy, but Kyrie Irving.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you something.
Boston looks pretty good.
Yeah, they really shut those guys down. I didn't think there was anybody who could shut the two of those guys down.
Well, actually, you know, when you look at it, you know, the Bucks game was, they were playing great defense, particularly the Friday game.
Right.
And they did Sunday, too, and they shut down the Bulls, got the Bulls cold. They came out hot. It's kind of the way Boston plays. So it'll be, that way, you know, if we play that way, it'll be sort of like against like.
Hey, Sandy.
Yeah.
Boston was playing New Jersey. The Bucks were playing the Bulls.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, the Bulls don't have a Durant and a Kyrie Irving. They've got the one guy.
But... Okay, now you're bailing out on the Bucks. let the record show.
Hey, but I'll tell you something, man. The NBA is just entertainment, top of the line entertainment. You know, you think back, you and I, a couple grizzled vets, and we think back to, I remember watching the games with Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell and the old Celtics and Bob Cousy and all those guys and Oscar Robertson and Jerry West and Gail Goodrich and all those guys. And they were pretty good. That was good basketball. And they were playing rugby. They let them play rugby back then.
Yeah.
So, but if you and those guys didn't make a lot of money, you know, the same thing with the football. But today, those guys, man, you know, they make. Yeah.
Well, I will say this: at least the guys in the Bucks who make a lot of money, it hasn't made any inroads on their effort or their apparent desire to win. So, you know, I guess you can make $35 million a year and still be hungry.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're looking at,
you know, some people would think all you have to do is make $35 million in 1 year.
I know. Well, you know, the global involvement with the NBA is where that money has really come from, right?
Well, and it's, yeah, I'm sure they're going to start both playing games abroad and they'll start having teams abroad, too. Europe loves basketball.
Right.
Europe is turning out great basketball players. So
no question.
It can't be too long until, you know, I guess we'll have to have supersonic jets or something. Or maybe they'll end up with a division that's a European division
Yeah, I can't see.
And then all the other divisions make occasional trips over there, and you end up having them in the finals.
Yeah, because I can't. There's no way you can set up a schedule
right
where Milwaukee plays and plays
Dubrovnik.
Yeah, and then comes back and has to play. You know,
it would be good for America to have that happen, because then Americans might have to figure out where Paris is.
Yeah,
or wherever, you know.
You know, Sandy. A lot of stuff happening internationally, nationally, locally. And so there are a lot of different things I want to talk about today. But
Vive la France, huh?
Emmanuel Macron. But the conservatives didn't take it too well.
Well, you know, actually, the conservatives, she got 41.8%, which is about double what has happened in the past. You got a little more than that the last time around, but I mean a little more than 20% last time, but not a lot more. And this time it's reasonably tight. And what the prognosticators, the political pundits in France say is that what this portends a problem for the parliamentary elections now, because they're going to elect representatives, and that 41% is going to be able to elect a substantial number of conservatives into the assembly, and so that's a problem. You know?
So only with Sandy Williams can we go from the Bucks and the NBA to the outcome.
Well, did you hear that segue? I said, let's find out where Paris was.
The outcome of the French election. But we're going to get into all those things. We got a couple minutes before break. Yeah. Let me finish this up. So who do you think is going to win the NBA title? Too early?
To be honest,
Golden State.
I've been talking like I know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about with the NBA.
Yeah.
The other teams are all I know is that the quality of team basketball has gone way up. And actually, we're talking about Europe. I think the input from European basketball, which includes which includes Giannis.
No question.
You know, the athletic ability of Luka Doncic.
Oh.
You know, these guys play basketball differently than we do.
The Joker,
yes.
7 feet tall and can handle the ball and pass the ball and shoot.
Well, that's the thing about European basketball is they make plays. They understand the triangle of ball games like soccer. And basketball is a triangle game, too, and so they set it up. And
are you talking about that's where Phil, what's his name?
Jackson?
Phil Jackson got it from. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Sandy Williams is here. You can join us. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy.
Yeah.
I almost
forgot
your name.
Did you almost forget my last name?
you noticed it right off the
I've never seen that man in my life.
Well, sometimes I'll just put things on automatic, and then it just flows from the automatic part of it, and then automatically it comes Sandy Williams.
Yeah,
but then when I try to, you know, interject some thought,
don't think. There's a mistake, Earl. A foreign process. That's a foreign process in my brain, Earl.
So let's go to France, and Emmanuel Macron is reelected. And what does that mean, Sandy? I mean, I guess I didn't realize that the conservative movement in France was beginning to...
Well, it's been growing, and Marine Le Pen's father is the one who started it. Really got it going and then she's really turned it into a party. It was a movement when he was heading it, but it was, you know, it's been a long time since the Pétain, the World War II super conservative fascist movement, and after that, I think the French really shied away from conservatism for quite a while. It's obviously coming back, and this election, while it, you know, it's interesting. I didn't realize how rarely France reelects its leaders, but this is the first time in 20 years that someone has won re-election to the position. Emmanuel Macron, he's not particularly popular. All the pundits in France say this is someone who no one is enthusiastic about, but the people who vote for him basically are voting against the notion of having a right-wing government. And he said that in his victory speech. He said, I know a lot of you people voted for me just to block the right from securing a victory here, and so I've got some work to do to secure, you know, enthusiastic support. But Europe has got this movement to the right ongoing. You know, Hungary has moved way to the right. Poland, other than the fact that they now seem to be strongly in the camp of Ukraine in this war, Poland had moved significantly to the right. And for instance, Marine Le Pen is a strong supporter of Russia and sees the world differently than others do. And I think that one of the problems we're going to have in the world is that if people decide that the litmus test for being mainstream is that you have to take a strong anti-Russian view, for instance, then we're going to leave the people who are maybe want to be different and thoughtful about it in some different way will have to align themselves in a different way, like with the right. And Putin is sort of counting on that and has lined up a number of supporters in the world based on this movement to the right. And I was thinking in the car on the way here that Trump basically secured election, because one of the things in France that was providing Marine Le Pen support is the disaffection of the rural working class people who are not sharing in the prosperity of France the way the elite in France who are supporting centrist candidates like Macron are realizing the success of the economy in France. What does that sound like? I mean, that sounds exactly like the United States, where we've got a lot of disaffected people who are not participating in the prosperity of this country while the country is achieving great prosperity. And what did that do to us? Well, you know, in 2016, now that was on the heels of a recession, but in 2016, it drove people to the right and electing Trump. And I think the main reason they voted for Trump is he was clearly running against this liberal elite that in fact is what he described them as, who were essentially getting all the benefits of prosperity.
So Sandy, the thought of these different groups moving to the right in different parts of the world, and even what we see with those on the right in this country, it's not like the right hasn't been in charge in a long, long time. They were just in charge of things. And yet people, are people thinking, the people who, the average American who feels like they've lost everything, are they somehow believing that the right is going to come back and be right by them, no pun intended?
Well, I think it's more like people bite the hand that is promising to feed them. You know, the liberals in this country have promised a lot to the people who are disaffected, okay? They've promised a lot to
right.
the urban poor and others. And they've basically, and it's not maybe their fault
they
necessarily,
they try,
but the political process keeps them from succeeding. So we've got this group that is promising it's the hand that's promising to feed that isn't accomplishing the result. And there's this old expression, people bite the hand that feeds them. I think it's the friend that lets you down that makes you angrier than the opponent who is simply against your friend that lets you down. And ultimately, I think we end up with this process in politics where the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so... as we get exceedingly disaffected from the people who have made promises to us and broke them, we suddenly start lining up with the people who are their enemy, which doesn't make any difference to us. It's like they're my friends because they're as angry with these people as I am, so I'm going to vote for them. That's about the only way you can justify a lot of the votes that went Trump's way, because so many people were voting against their personal interest and were obviously voting based on a personal anger that they were experiencing, and they were looking for someone who could be their champion in anger.
So we know there are people who are thinking like that. There's no question.
And it's happening around the world.
Right. There's no question that there are people who are thinking like that, Sandy. How do you begin?
And incidentally, there's a history of that. That's how autocrats and dictators end up getting elected in periods of extreme recession or depression, economic depression, where there are lots of disaffected people. And they end up voting for someone who really is the most elite, the super elite, right? It's the dictator who's going to take charge and probably end up with a super wealthy class supporting him.
Well, you just think about that. Donald Trump was just here. He wasn't, 40 years ago. He was just here. He just gave that tax break to the wealthiest people. And the average Joe didn't get much of anything. It's impacted and affected the average Joe. And but the average Joe doesn't even understand that.
Well, the average Joe, when you see these Trump rallies, when you look at the audience out there, it's a bunch of white average Joes.
Well, that's true.
It's not. People don't drive up in their Bentleys. They don't drive up in their Bentleys to go to these rallies. You know, it's basically working class white people.
And the average Joe, the sheer numbers of them can really swing elections.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's really at the root of this and the dangers. So you're telling me, and based on what happened after the outcome of the election in France, the average Joe's there are up in arms.
Well, 41%.
That's a huge number.
It's a very big number. It's not, you know, if you look at we call that a presidential landslide, but if you look at a country that's got multiple parties in an assembly, that 41%, if they all decided to vote for super right candidates in the assembly, you'd end up with a voting bloc that probably would control the assembly, because Macron is a centrist candidate. He probably doesn't have in the assembly, won't have 41% of the assembly in centrist.
So I
want representatives.
We've got to go to a break, Sandy, but I want to ask you when we come back, should that matter to this nation, that 41% of the French, are conservative? Because is that the same case? I mean, France is not alone. I mean, there are other European nations.
Did COVID come to the United States from China? I mean, contagions.
Yeah, we got to go to break.
Contagion spread.
Hold the thought. All right, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, before we went to the break, we were talking about the fact that this conservative movement is not just inside the borders of America. It's many places all over the world now, and I was asking,
like including India, with his 1.3 billion people.
And I was asking you, is it because, I mean, there are always more have-nots than haves. I don't care where it is, you know. And so people come to a point where they look around and they see that their struggle continues. And those who have their resources continue to get bigger. It's not just in the United States of America. And the other part of this, Sandy, is I think the younger the population in the country, the more they are clamoring and saying, hey, wait a minute. As we've got the millennials in our country saying, hey, this is not right.
I think the conservative movement generally, the movement to the right, tends to be inhabited by the used to haves who have lost what their position, or the almost haves. It's that part of the broadest version of the middle class that you can think of that is disappointed with their outcome or disappointed with the trends they're experiencing. The have-nots, the ones who really have not, I think have typically and will continue to be liberal and on the left and will be looking for the government to solve their problems. And they will need the government to help them solve their problems. But it's that broader middle class that's disappointed with the outcome who begins to blame the government for their loss of status or for the inability of the government to deliver to them the status that they believe is their entitlement or the one that they should be having based on promises made to them. And it's that group, I think, that has become very disappointed with the outcomes of government in all the various places around the world. And it's that group which is firing the conservative movement.
So what that says to me then, Sandy, is that across the globe, as nations are continuing to prepare for invasions from outside, the real threat is going to be coming from the inside of governments, to continue to attempt to control people who are saying, hey, wait a minute. I mean, I do like that. What was the name? Elon Musk. What is his vehicle called?
The Tesla.
The Tesla. I like that Tesla truck that they've put out. Yeah. I'd like to have me one of those. You know, I mean, I see it everywhere, and I know people are driving those. I want one.
Well, let's speak about danger from inside versus outside. The United States runs around the world saying that it wants to export to the rest of the world the kind of democracy that we have and the wonders of our American government. Of course, we inside understand that there's lots of deficiencies ongoing with respect to what we're delivering to our people. And what's happening inside the United States is that there is a strong movement towards essentially getting rid of the American democracy as we have known it. Trump is all about trying to develop a government apparatus that basically puts the privileged in control, those who have status, those who have wealth, those who have a status in this country that has basically been their birthright, a way to maintain it, right? So we've got efforts to change the way we count votes, the efforts to change the way elections are held, to skew things in the favor of people with means. And we've become a country that's clearly got politics that's dividing between the makers and the takers, okay? And it's even talked about in that way. So Here we've got the danger from within with respect to the nature of our democracy. Our danger's within, and yet we're running around the world talking about exporting the kind of democracy we have because we talk about a type of democracy we have, which we are in the process of trying to rid ourselves of.
Well, the only way and the only reason we get away with that, or those who continue to say it, is because far too many Americans don't even understand that what they thought was democracy is not there. And you can't say, so you can think that, whatever it is you want to think in this country, you can feel good about, hey, yeah, democracy, and it's great, and all those things, and look at the opportunities we have here that nobody else has, and you can be a cheerleader for that.
Yeah.
Until you really stop and look at what democracy is, the meaning of it, and what we are actually being exposed to.
Right. I mean, you talked about how, you know, Americans need to get used to the fact that it's not for everyone. It's not that easy to make it in America, right? Which is the promise that we are trying to sell to the rest of the world, that all you have to do is create something like we have and everyone will have an opportunity. No, they'd have to create something a little better and different than we have for everyone to have an opportunity, because we don't have that going here. I think that this is all about what I've talked about before, which is the inability of America to do an honest self-evaluation. And we end up running around the world talking a talk which doesn't have anything to do with a real self-evaluation of what we've got going.
You know, Sandy, that self-evaluation, out of all the great things you've said in all the years I've known you, the self-evaluation thing that our nation should do is at the root of all of it. Let's go back. Let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
Gary from Sussex is calling in.
Hey, Gary, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. And you too, Sandy. I hope you're doing well. I like listening. There's a lot of things that I agree with, and there's a lot that I disagree with.
What do you disagree with?
Well, the thing is, America, in my opinion, and I'm only giving you my opinion, and anybody else's opinion,
I
welcome to listen.
We got that.
Okay. I think America is the greatest country in the world. And the fact is, even the poorest people in America are doing way better.
Okay, so hold on. Gary, I'll let you speak. But therein lies the issue and the problem and the major problem. America is great, but even the poor people in the country, you ever realize and take a gander at more of the folk who used to be middle class are now falling into the poor category, Gary? It can't be that we just overlook, like you just did.
I didn't overlook anything. All I know is before the pandemic, things are going really well for everybody. even the poorest people in this country, things are going well.
I think the poorest people in this country will say to you, that's a bunch of BS.
Okay, listen, just give me a second, Earl, okay?
I've
been all over the world. I've been in Belize. I've been Rotterdam.
Hey, but this is America. Don't compare America to Belize.
But I'm saying I've seen
that's what you're doing.
The poorest.
I know, that's not. Gary, I'm going to let you finish, but I get tired of people trying to compare, like you say, the greatest nation on earth. Then don't compare it with Belize. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, thank you. There are the haves and the have-nots. That's what you were talking about, okay?
Yeah.
And I understand, how you look at things.
Why?
But the people who have the have help the people that have not jobs, okay? If it wasn't for – what do you think these people are doing, collecting money and just stick it in the bank and not giving back into the economy and creating jobs? Of course they're doing it. The thing is with me, you know me, Earl. I'm a very small businessman. I work 70 hours a week, very hard, and I am not one of the haves, and I'm not a have-not either. I'm kind of like right in the middle. I live in a modest house that I built 46 years ago in the same house, and I drive around in used cars. I've never bought a new car, you know? But I work hard for what I have, and I give people work. I give them furnaces.
You're a good guy, man.
Gary, you know, you are definitely, I mean, there's no question that in America, it is extremely possible, and it's more possible here than it is in many other countries, for someone who's not blocked by any of the things that might block others from being able to move forward. Gary, you're white. Are you white?
Yes.
Yeah. And were you born into a nuclear family, a mother and a father?
Yes, but okay. My parents got divorced when I was 5.
Okay,
I grew up with my mother working for 75 cents an hour and living with my grandma because we had no money, but my mother would not take welfare because she had too much pride.
Right.
So we just moved in with my grandma, know?
Yeah,
all right,
okay.
Go ahead.
But the fact is that the color of your skin right out of the chute made a difference for you in America. And you have worked hard, and you are a success story, and that is great. But America is filled with problems, continues to be filled with problems that we don't.
Yes, I agree.
We have the 38th highest level of child poverty in the world. You would think we would have the least, but no, we're number 38. And so that tells me something. We have an infant mortality rate that isn't anywhere near the best in the world. It's quite a bit down from the best of the world. We have healthcare access problems that are substantial. The results from our education system, when we measure it against the rest of the world, demonstrates that we're not at the top at all. In fact, we're in the teens in terms of where our kids perform when they get done with school. So.
I agree with that too.
Okay, so when we say we're the greatest country in the world, we ought to take a breath and figure out whether that's true. We are, of course, a unique country. We are bounded by the Atlantic and the Pacific, which keeps a whole bunch of problems at arm's length from us. And we have a bountiful amount of assets in the country, and we have plenty of space, and that has done very well for America for a long time. But now, as we have moved to the cities and we have more and more people who are dependent upon urban jobs, we find people subject to the whims of the business cycle and a variety of other things over which they lack control. And we also have an education system which has failed to keep up with the needs for technology. If you're in the HVAC business, I bet you've had trouble hiring people to work for you, haven't you?
Well, you know what? As I'm getting older, I'm 7 years old, as I'm going to be retiring in the next few years, for every 10 of us that retire, there's 2 people that take our place.
I know. So I'm just telling you.
Hey, Gary, hang on.
That's a lesson
Sandy,
in
Gary,
our training
hang on.
System.
We've got to go to break. Gary, hang on. We'll carry you through.
Hang on.
Because I think it's important to have the conversation with a guy like you and give Sandy a chance. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams on the line. Gary from Sussex. And Sandy, you were – and I want to say this before we bring Gary and Sandy back on. You know, Gary represents a really large swath of people in this country. And he's a good guy. I am not saying – I've met him. We've had breakfast. His heart is right. And you know, he sees things from – You know, his
well, look, sphere. America's been very, very good to a lot of people, very good to right. a lot of people. And there's been immigrants who've come here, and second generation immigrants are the most successful cohort in America. So it can be very good to people who come here very quickly. And so there's no question that it is a place of great opportunity. But we just have to do a self-evaluation to figure out that there are a bunch of people who live in this country who don't experience the access to that great opportunity. And, you know, we can ask why, and we can say that, well, it might have to do with circumstances that relate to those people particularly. But, okay, it's circumstances, but we should do a deep dive into what those circumstances are. There have been books written, that book Evicted, that was about the Milwaukee urban area, that did a very good job of looking into the history of how it is that we have these social problems that become economic problems, that become an issue of access to opportunity. And so, Gary, I'm not at all hypercritical of what you're saying, because I do think for a whole cadre of people, America is a place of great opportunity, and it's a place of greater opportunity than a number of other countries in the world. I mean, there are a bunch of countries in the world that actually are more successful than America in many ways. In Northern Europe, we can list a number of them who have higher per capita GDP, better standards of living on average, better education outcomes, better health access, et cetera. Higher measures of human satisfaction when they do polling. I mean, you can do essentially all the Scandinavian countries and Germany and a number of Northern European countries who seem to do better. But that doesn't mean we aren't doing that. That this isn't a great place. It probably is a great place. I simply am at an age a little older than yours, hoping that we can make it a greater place. And instead of being self-satisfied with what we've got and criticizing the people who want to make it greater, I think we should all put our shoulder to the wheel like you are and make this place greater.
Go ahead, Gary. Gary, go ahead.
Do we lose Gary?
Yeah, maybe we lost Gary.
Try and call back if you... You are, Gary.
Go ahead, Gary.
Oh, I'm here. You, Sandy, when you see something, you call it the way you see it. And I really appreciate it. And you know what? There's times that you say things that I think some of your listeners are not going to want to hear because you're telling the truth. And I appreciate that. And that's why I like listening to you. I have a friend of mine, which is a customer. My wife took care of their kids.
Hey Gary, does it mean I'm not telling the truth?
Oh, no.
Only joking, man. Go ahead.
It's the Earl Ingram Show. It's not the Sandy Williams Show. You know?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Not yet.
So the thing is this. He's a good friend. We raised both of his kids. My wife babysat from infants until they went to kindergarten. And like I said, he's a customer of mine. But he is a liberal, and he's on our school board out in Sussex. And I am running against him, and I told him, because I know he's running next year for re-election. I'm directly going right against him. And he looked at me and said, go ahead, you know. And so I'm really looking forward to that. The thing is, I look at life the way it is. When I've been in some of these really poor countries, I remember one time this mom and her little boy was about 3 years old. He was taking cans and crushing them and trying to get some money for the cans. As people walk by, they give him those cans, you know. So I went up to the kid and I said, can I get my picture taken with you? Well, they didn't speak English, so I kind of made a motion. So I took we got a picture taken with him. I gave him $10. And it's like, that's more money than this poor kid made in one day.
But Gary, you probably were vacationing in Belize, but have you ever vacationed at 27th and
Sandy just took the words out of my mouth.
You know where I'm at right now? Right now I'm at 37th in Silver Spring.
No, Sandy, I have a job over so Gary, I get it. I mean, I understand your business and you go and do the thing you do.
I go wherever anybody needs help.
I know. But see, Sandy's point is absolutely 100% correct.
I was on vacation in Belize.
You wouldn't believe that there are poor and hungry people in this country, would you? You don't believe that.
Well, no, there are.
Okay, so.
But the thing is, when I say this is the greatest country in the world, it's just the same thing. It's like, if I ask anybody, who has the best mom in the world? They're all going to say, well, my mom is. The thing is, that's why, look at.
Hey Gary.
Let me ask you something, Gary. My heart is...
I know, but let me ask you something. How can it be, you and I both are similar in age, we both live in this country, you see the country as the greatest nation on earth, and I'm in this country and I don't see that. Can you even begin to think how that can possibly be? We're both born in this country almost at the same time, and you see it as the greatest nation on earth, and I don't see it that way. Why do you think there's a difference in how we see it?
Sandy was right when he said that we do have the greatest opportunities to succeed in this country.
No.
Well, he did
all
say
of
that.
All of us don't.
I said that, but I said all of us don't have access to those opportunities, and so there are barriers. There are barriers to that access. Earl was off the record talking about his access to a mortgage, and you know, Earl, describe you.
Well, so clearly early on, and I'm just one of many. And it goes even back to my father, who worked hard, didn't ask for a handout.
Dale Smith, I think you said.
Yeah. American Motors, came here, worked hard like anybody else, never asked for a handout.
Well, and your income was essentially upper middle class.
Well, that's correct.
Yeah.
But yet, we didn't get an opportunity. He didn't get an opportunity to buy a home outside of a certain area until 1967 with the open housing marches. You don't know anything about that, do you? But the open housing marches.
I grew up in Milwaukee.
My point is, if the country was so great, why do we have to have open housing marches? The point I'm making to you is, it has not been equal. What was it?
I'm not saying it's equal.
Okay, so if it's not
equal.
Okay, but let me say this, Gary. If it's not equal, that's the issue. Why was it not equal?
Okay, well, let me just ask you a question. This will answer it for you, okay? If you take a young man, 16 years old, and he goes to working at, let's say Walmart or something like that. He works harder than everybody else. The manager says, hey, who can work Saturday because we're short? We got a big sale come up or something like that. Oh, I'll work Saturday. Oh, okay. Oh, who can work Sunday? Who can work Sunday? Oh, I'll work Sunday. Well, you know what? What's going to happen? In a couple of years, they're going to see what this kid has done. Worked harder than anybody else.
Gary,
and then all the next thing you know,
Gary,
he's going to be the night manager.
I know you really believe that. But that therein lies the issue. Lies the problem. You refuse to accept what happened in this country, and what has happened.
You say happened,
and that continues to happen.
That puts it in history.
Right.
I think it's happening.
Okay, you're happening.
Happening. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
We've got to go, Gary. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thanks for all the time.
You guys on the phone. We'll come to you after the break. 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is on Monday. It's Monday, so Monday's with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.